Genealogy by Tim, Season 3, Episode 9, recorded September 30th, 2023. I've been very busy this month at my day job, but I do have time this month for one story that I'd like to share with you. It's a story of following the breadcrumb trail through Daughters of the American Revolution records, Sons of the American Revolution records, and hopefully all this leads to a long-lost family Bible. Coming up on Genealogy by Tim. Last month I told you about my single-day trip out to Lancaster County, where I found at the Lancaster County Historical Society, also known as Lancaster History, a death record written by a Reverend Henry B. Schaffner for John Hoogendobler, my qualifying ancestor for the Sons of the American Revolution. Even though this death record was written in 1820, it contained a lot of information that one would typically find on a modern death certificate, like birth date, parents' names, spouse's names, cause of death. One interesting feature of this record was that it noted a location of either death or burial as Columbia, Pennsylvania. However, the place of death listed on Daughters of the American Revolution records was Mountville, Pennsylvania, and I was curious to know why there was a discrepancy. Answering this question entailed tracing Daughters of the American Revolution records back to their original sources. You see, when someone applies to become a member of either the Sons of the American Revolution or the Daughters of the American Revolution, the applicant may bootstrap their application with information from previously accepted applications. And this is what I did when I joined the Sons of the American Revolution back in 2018. So to research my application for Sons of the American Revolution, I only had to go back to my grandmother's great-grandfather, David H. Klein, who lived back in the later part of the 19th century and early 20th century. I didn't have to research all the way back to the Revolutionary War. Since a distant cousin included David H. Klein in her application, I was able to bootstrap my application with the information dating from David H. Klein back to John Hoogendobler, my qualifying ancestor. So my application and the application that I used to bootstrap my application both list a place of death for John Hoogendobler as Mountville, Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Now, the city of Lancaster is right in the center of the county, and a lot of my ancestors were born, lived in or around Columbia, which is a borough along the Susquehanna River on the west side of the county, and Mountville is about right in between the two. But Dr. Henry B. Schaffner's original death and burial record for John Hoogendobler lists the location of Columbia, Pennsylvania. So this month I did a little bit of detective work, following the breadcrumbs back to the original source for that Mountville information. And here is what I found. Start at the bottom of my very own Sons of the American Revolution application from 2018. At the bottom, you'll see a list of all my sources, and one source that repeats several times is DARRC, number 668267. That is a reference to a previously accepted Daughters of the American Revolution application. The Daughters of the American Revolution has a very extensive website where you can go and purchase the applications of previously accepted members. And for a small fee, you can purchase a copy of these records. It's $10 for the application itself, and if the application happens to have any supporting documentation, it'll be an additional $20 to see those. So some time ago, I purchased this application, number 668267, and it belongs to a Florence Resch Hipple. Mrs. Hipple was born in 1918 and she died in 2001. And when a member dies, their application and other information become available to other researchers at the Daughters of the American Revolution website. Turns out I wasn't the only person to make use of Mrs. Hipple's application. Mrs. Hipple had a grandniece who also used her application. And you'll see this when you go through the Daughters of the American Revolution website into their genealogical research system. You'll get to see which applications are available, and in some cases you'll see where several different applications made use of the same ancestor line. So I wasn't the only one who used Mrs. Hipple's application. But more interesting to me is, where did Mrs. Hipple get her information to complete her application? And if you read the bottom of Mrs. Hipple's application, number 668267, she lists these sources. The 1955 yearbook of Sons of the American Revolution, published by Floyd G. Hohnstein, and the Daughters of the American Revolution Patriot Index, page 345. So she's still referencing Sons of the American Revolution and Daughters of the American Revolution sources, but they are not member application numbers. Fortunately, in this modern era, these volumes are available to view online. If you visit archive.org and search in the upper right corner for Daughters of the American Revolution Patriot Index, you will see it available on this site. Now, it's available only as a borrowable item, and for that you need an account. And when you create your own free account, you can click on borrow to borrow the item for a limited but renewable amount of time. And when you turn to page 345 of that volume, it lists several Hugendoblers who served in the Revolutionary War, including Isaac, John, my ancestor, Joseph, and Nicholas. It gives also birth and death years, spouses' names, rank and state where they served, but it doesn't list additional information or sources. It is simply an index of recognized ancestors. So the Daughters of the American Revolution Patriot Index was kind of a dead end, but there was another source in Mrs. Hipple's application, and that was the 1955 yearbook of the Sons of the American Revolution, published by Floyd G. Hohnstein. Archive.org also has this text. The 1955 yearbook of the Pennsylvania Society Sons of the American Revolution is what you'll find at archive.org. And this is a little more informative than the Daughters of the American Revolution Index. The yearbook shows not only the qualifying ancestor, John Hugendoblar, but also all of his descendants leading to the applicant who claimed that ancestor in the Sons of the American Revolution. And in the case of John Hugendoblar, that is one John Henry Kitch. John Henry Kitch is another descendant of David H. Klein, my grandmother's great-grandfather. And the Sons of the American Revolution applications, many of them are on Ancestry.com. And I happen to have a copy of Henry Kitch's Sons of the American Revolution application. So this is the next step along the breadcrumb trail. Where did John Henry Kitch get his information about the death place of John Hugendoblar? So I looked to the bottom of John Henry Kitch's application, and he lists these sources. Pennsylvania Archives Series 5, Volume 7, pages 8 and 432, and National Numbers 303976 and 197105, Daughters of the American Revolution. So Mr. Kitch is again referring to another application number. The Pennsylvania Archives Series 5, Volume 7 is available on Fold 3, which I was able to access at the school where I work, since the school has subscriptions to Ancestry Classroom, Newspapers.com, and Fold 3. And I found the Pennsylvania Archives Series 5, Volume 7 to contain proof that John Hugendoblar fought in the American Revolution, compiled apparently from muster rolls, but not the original muster rolls themselves. And it also didn't say anything about John Hugendoblar's death in either Mountville or Columbia. So I turned then to the Daughters of the American Revolution applications number 303976 and 197105. This took me back to the Daughters of the American Revolution genealogical research system, where I purchased the application number 303976 and its supporting documents, and also the application number 197105, which did not include any supporting documents, I discovered that application 197105 mostly referenced application 303976. Application 197105 belonged to a Catherine B. Whitmire, who was fairly closely related to the other applicant, applicant number 303976, Mrs. Margaret Wilson Masters. And Mrs. Masters's application is where my breadcrumb trail ended this month. Mrs. Masters's application did not reference any other Sons or Daughters of the American Revolution applications. Her application referenced many family Bibles. Mrs. Masters is from a different line of Hugendoblers than I am. John Hugendobler, the soldier, had several children, one of whom was Joseph. I'm descended from Joseph. Another child was Jacob, and Mrs. Masters is descended from Jacob. So, there isn't a whole lot of overlap between my application and Mr. Kitch's application on one hand, and Mrs. Masters' application on the other, but Mrs. Masters, as a descendant of John Hugendobler, the soldier, had to include some information about him and his life and his children, and she got this information from family Bible records. I had long known of the existence of the Hugendobler family Bible. Early in my researches, I googled up the work of one Diane Hugendobler. And she has since passed on, and her work is no longer up online, but I was able to screenshot some of it, and some of it still survives in forum posts. And one example says, Lancaster County Courthouse records show that Nicholas, that's John Hugendobler's father, died in 1768. Dr. Moyer of Chestnut Street, Columbia, Pennsylvania, has his Bible, in which is recorded the birth of his daughter, Anne, in Basel, Switzerland, in 1743, and also the death of John Sr. in 1820, aged 74 and several months. This Bible also records the fact that Nicholas had bought land in Hesse, Darmstadt, in 1744. And some additional information is also referenced in the work of Diane Hugendobler, so I had known that there was a family Bible. I did not know many details about it until I saw the supporting documents for Mrs. Margaret Wilson Masters' Daughters of the American Revolution application. So she writes this of the Bible. Records translated from the German by Conrad Bittner, 643 Chestnut Street, Columbia, Pennsylvania, in the Hugendobler Family Bible, published in Germany in the year 1522. And brought to this country by Nicholas Hugendobler, Sr. in the year 1750. The Bible at present is in the possession of Dr. I. L. Moyer of 6th and Chestnut Streets, Columbia, Pennsylvania. In the year 1744, we bought our place for the sum of $2,150, in parentheses, whether German or English monies is not distinguishable, end parentheses. We paid cash for it. John Jacob Boyer, witness. This Bible belongs to me, John Hugendobler, 1784. In the year 1789, 30th day of May, was born to us a son. His name is Samuel. In the year 1791, December 9th, was born a son. His name is Nicholas. And his baptism witness was Frederick Clare and his wife Elizabeth. And just below that is what appears to be a Roman numeral, MDCXXL. However, when I Googled that to figure out what number that was exactly, I found that that's not a valid Roman numeral, so I'm not sure exactly what was intended there. But then it continues, our father, John Hugendobler, was born the 12th day of May, 1820, and he was 74 years, 7 months, and 5 days when he died. Anna Alder was born a Hugendobler, born June 10th, 1743, in Basel, Switzerland. Elizabeth Hugendobler was born the 16th of December, 1786, departed this life September 15th, 1822, age 55 years and 9 months. And that copy was signed by Margaret Wilson Masters and apparently notarized as well. There was an error in this. I don't know if it was a translation error or a transcription error, but it said our father, John Hogendobler, was born the 8th day of May, 1820. It should have said he died that day. So I think they got their Geboren and their Gestorben confused. But what was very interesting to me is the year that this Bible was published, the year 1522. And I kind of get the sense that not a whole lot of books relative today were being published every year back in 1522. So I googled up 1522 Bible. This is the first year that Martin Luther published his Bible. He published the first edition in September and the second edition in December. So probably what we're looking at is an original 1522 Martin Luther Bible in the possession of Dr. I.L. Moyer of 6th and Chestnut Streets. Now, the other interesting thing to note is that this application was submitted and accepted in 1937. So whereas before I read about Dr. Moyer owning a family Bible, I just kind of assumed that maybe he was still around, and maybe I can contact him and see if he still has his Bible. And I had trouble finding this Dr. Moyer, so I kind of gave up on that. And the reason I was having trouble finding him is because it was in 1937 that he's noted as owning this Bible, and I was able to use his full initials here, I.L., to discover more about him, and he died in 1957, so I won't be contacting him. But he does have descendants living in various parts of the country from Maryland to Boston, so I may be reaching out to some of them in the near future. Now, Mrs. Margaret Wilson Masters doesn't have and never had possession of the original Bible, but maybe she transcribed more of it for some more of her own personal records, not relevant to the Daughters of the American Revolution. So I researched a little bit more about her descendants. She had a son that died recently in 2018, and a grandson whose email address is written in her son's obituary. So I sent an email to this grandson, and as of this recording, I have not heard back. But if I can't find the original Bible, then perhaps among the papers of the Masters family is a more complete transcription that hopefully goes all the way back to 1522. So the next step for me would be to perhaps look up estate records to see if any of them mention this Bible. I went ahead and looked on eBay for Bibles like this, and they list for four figures. So I thought briefly about maybe buying a reproduction. Even reproductions will go for three figures. So I don't know. I would like to have something similar to this, but it may not be in my budget at this time. I'd like to know what became of this original 1522 Martin Luther Bible that in the year 1937 was apparently floating around the city of Columbia. And well, I'll let you know next month if I get any closer to that. And that's about all I have for you this month. Next month, I'm hot on the trail of what I would call the holy grail of Hogendobler family history research, this ancient 1522 Bible. If I discover anything about it, you'll hear it here. Until then, keep on digging. Your next family history adventure awaits.